welcome to the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Gavin, joined alongside my co-host, Pat, and producer, Dom, aka co-host number three, James. I think we'll be back next week, if memory serves correct. Dom, it was a two-week vacation, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
It was. With that being said, we do apologize if you do hear some fans in the background. It's hot as hell. Everybody's sweating over here. But with that being How was everybody's holiday? How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
Good?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Everybody have a good fourth?
Can't complain.
I mean,
you know my situation on the fourth, so yeah.
Enlightened. Okay, well, we'll get there. For those who wants to know, it was the 4th of July. The Phillies. We'll go right to the Phillies. The Phillies played on the 4th, and fellas, I'll be honest, I haven't really seen much of them since then, but I did see last night, and I would just say, I know we don't have visual aid just yet, but to be the absolute asshole slash troll I am, I found my Braves hat, because what happened last night was absolutely atrocious. A walk-off grand slam versus...
No.
Oh, not grand slam, sorry. It was a walk-off inside the Parker. It whatever, guys, it happened. All right, it happened. It shouldn't have happened, but I'm gonna be honest.
No.
Me personally, you guys are gonna understand. Like I'm a person where, to me, it's still like it's July. Games are starting to matter, but it's not even All-Star break. All-Star breaks next week, so they're like, calm down. So I don't really have much to say on it. So it was just embarrassing, and you know, it kind of like the one thing that came to my mind when you just think of something like this is like, the Phillies find any sort of way to lose. That's the only thing that comes to my mind. Any way you think you could lose, they find a way to lose. Even when they're not supposed to lose, they still lose. So I'm going to just say, last night was embarrassing. It was the end of the world. No, I mean, you're 53-39. You're sitting pretty well in the division, right? You're right by, you're tied with the Mets for first place. You're 5-5 in your last 10 as much as they are as well. There's no real reason to overreact, right, Pat?
No, there is a reason to overreact. If you say that there's not, then you're not watching the games.
Like I tell you guys, to me, baseball games don't really matter until the All-Star break.
Which is half true.
I mean, because that's what passed with the halfway marker.
No, we're already past the halfway marker. Yeah. Because there's 162 games. We played game 81 like 2 weeks ago. So that's technically the halfway point, but.
Well, go ahead. Last night. Because you sent us a nice text.
Don't even get me started on last night.
No, we need this.
It's just, like you said, you find ways to lose. You find new ways to lose. First of all, we went. What, 0-26, 0-27, something like that, with runners in scoring position?
Yeah.
And then you finally get a run? That can't happen. That just cannot happen. This offense is anemic as hell, and you can't get a hit when it matters. And then, why are we putting Matt Strom in the seventh inning and having Romano pitch the eighth and ninth inning? You know Romano is not good this season. Put him in at, like, the sixth inning. Put him in a low-leverage situation because he cannot handle high-leverage situations, especially two innings and especially to close. He has blown three saves this year with a 7.44 ERA. That's not good. I get it. You didn't have Kirk or any last night, so your, like, arms were kind of limited. But still, put Strom in that situation. Maybe don't put Romano in there, who you know can blow a save at any time, no matter the lead. Like, I just don't understand it.
I will say, real quick, Don, before you go, and I think this is just showing that now the effects of Alvarado being suspended is hurting.
Yeah, well, it's also showing the effects of Dombrowski not doing anything in the offseason.
But what do you expect? What do you expect? This man at the top left of my screen has said the same thing to me the last 2 years. If you expect anything differently, that's your fault.
I expect you to sign at least maybe a few pitchers who are serviceable. Not absolute garbage.
Yeah, I'll say this in Dombrowski's defense, not that he doesn't deserve the criticism. Jordan Romano was serviceable coming in, and I wasn't the biggest Jordan Romano fan, but I think some of his criticism since he's been here is a little excessive. Like I think we tend to forget his Toronto days. I mean, it's apparent that he's becoming far removed from that. However, you know, I think we look at, you know, what, and I'll rest on the laurels of, look, outside of when he brought K-Rod to Detroit, and that was on the back end of his career, name me another time Dave Dombrowski has signed a key reliever. You know, his model for a winning ball club is in terms of how we divvy up the pie, we're not putting a lot into the bullpen.
Guys, yeah. This is the same guy that ran it back with the same team to try to get back to the World Series, and you were one out away, one inning, one game away from going, and then you run it back again with the same team, and you don't get as half as close.
Yeah.
I said this a long time ago, I caught this hat, not so much a Phillies fan now, but it's the simple fact that after you lose the second year round, you didn't make it back. You lost a team that was playing with nothing, playing house money. Arizona had nothing to lose except just go, and then you saw what happened in the World Series that year. The fact that you didn't make a move after getting bounced out by the Mets in the first round says something. The Phillies are feeling themselves. You got a great ball club. I always, and my biggest gripe with this team is, and it starts with the fans, is we like these key players, these little, not even key players, these little group of players, the daycare. We always talk about Bryce Stott and Alec Bohm and Brandon Marsh. And I said, yo, y'all should have moved on for them a year ago.
I think everybody, to your point, is kind of, I think the whole daycare.
But yeah, it's done. But I'm just saying, but that's the issue, though. Everybody, we talk about, matter of fact, this is a conversation just for you. Ready? We talk about fans, right? And how much do fans matter? And I feel
for the Phillies, this is public knowledge. John Middleton is pretty in tune with the fan base.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but here's the issue.
There's a lot of things wrong with that.
Well, yeah. Well, then you got guys like Josh Harris, who everybody hates. Like, so I look at it like this. The fans shouldn't control the organization. Exactly. Bryson Stott would have been a nice piece to move a year ago. Alec Bohm would have been a nice piece when he was had a higher average and was hitting the double king.
Yeah.
I would have bounced him a long time ago. I would try to do something.
Yeah.
Like that's the issue. We wait and miss the mark, and now this is what you have to deal with. This is what it is. You're the guy that you spent a lot of bread on, and Bryce Harper is getting older. He is not going to be, and I'm not like, and everybody's like, well, he's October. It doesn't matter if you can't get there.
He's not looking like it this year.
Not looking like it this year. JT Realmuto. Oh, I don't even want to talk about that. That's another one. And then the only person, and I don't even want to get on Nick Castellanos because he forgot his bet this year. Guys, what, like, I blame front office. I agree with you with that, Pat. But also, too, a part of the blame is us because we put a lot of value into these people. And then with our owner who wants to be so much on a friendly fan side, yeah. a man of the people. You let them stay, and they suck. And then this is what it is. This is what it is. I told you guys, yo, when you say, yo, why is there no moves? That's why. It's front office things. You can win with the group you have. Look in the NBA. Teams are blowing up their core like it's nothing. And they're okay with that because they know at some point you're just prolonging what you know is going to happen. And a damn rebuild is what's going to happen. I'm not saying for the Phillies that they need to completely tear everything down. But I'm saying you hold on to these players, and now these players are going to be nothing. It looks like this rebuild is coming. And that World Series window, which, let's be realistic, guys, that was a lucky run. I'm going to just call it what it was. That was a damn lucky run. You somehow go against the Braves and you beat the – you're a homer.
I don't think it was a lucky run either. I don't think so, and here's why. If it was a lucky run, they would have evaporated, and they still wouldn't be in contention.
Well, yeah. But you got no hit twice by the same team.
No, you didn't.
You got no hit by Houston, right? In the play, and then one before, and then also too, right? You also have go back to the Padres series. If Harper doesn't hit that home run to go the opposite, are we really going?
Yeah, they were up 3-1.
Yeah, we'd still go. We'd go back to San Diego, but we'd still go.
I look at this team and it's like, I mean, like, yeah, maybe I just look at last year as like, this is what it is. Like, yeah. this is what it's going to be. The last two years, right? Phillies fans got too high up. I was happy for it, but yeah. I was the first one to say, because we were on the radio and I said, yo, I was like, don't get used to this. Don't get your hopes up. This is not going to happen. And then they go back and the same thing happens again. That's why I had their mindset of this team. I was like, you find any way to lose.
So this is my thing. Pat hit on a lot of good points.
He did.
The biggest one, you know, that 0 for 26, 0 for 27, run creation continues to be a problem for this team. You know, I think that can be attributed to a number of factors. Go ahead, Pat.
It's attributed to you can't put a ball in play when you need to. Yeah. You can't play small ball. And they've never been able to play small ball.
So now, here's my thing. Everybody wanted this team to play small ball. They started playing small ball to start the season. And then everybody complained, well, they aren't a power team. You know, well, where's the long ball? You know, this is a team that's built on gap power. And, you know, listen, I've seen teams that can live in duality and do both of those things very well. I don't think this team is built to be that, you know, and listen, you know, I'm, you know, for what it's worth, you know, I'm a small ball guy when you have the right lineup. You know, the San Diego Padres do it very well because they have two to three guys. Well, you know, and excluding Arias, who's won batting titles off of that, but they have two to three other guys in the lineup that create runs, you know, as slappers. You know, the Phillies lineup, and this is, you know, this is where I look at the fan base and it's like, are we really watching baseball here? Is tell me who on this team is built to, you know, give you that type of production. If you had guys that were built for that type of production, I totally would be in concurrence with the whole, you know, they need to play more small ball. But I look at the roster and I'm just like, can I really expect that? I get it. It's warranted. Don't get me wrong. I don't disagree at all that, hey, they're not playing small ball. But I also think this is why people are in the stands versus people are in a front office. You have to look at the personnel. You have to look at the lineup construction. You know, the reality is, you know, within the last 20 years that the powers that be with the lineup card have shifted much from the dugout to the front office. And Dave Dombrowski has built this team to be a power team. It's a microcosm of what it was in Detroit, whether, you know, it was with Maglio Ordóñez and Miggy, or, you know, at the back end where they brought Prince Fielder in. You know, this is, you know, what I kind of expected to some degree. Now, I also think you need to question the manager a little bit. And listen, I think Rob Thompson, for what
he's untouchable.
Well, no, here's the thing. I think he should be manager of the year right now. I look at the managing jobs done across the league. I think the Phillies are partially in position because of what he's done this year. You know, I think they're still floating because of some of what he's done this year. However, and it showed last night, he's got to do a better job of managing this bullpen. You know, so I'm starting to have some questions there. Do I think he should be on the hot seat? No, and here's why. This is, you know, and I'd be curious to get your guys' thoughts on this. Everybody's fired up about the fact that he didn't, you know, let Phil Cuzzi have it the other night. Any thoughts on that?
Go ahead.
Okay. Pat. So I'm glad you brought this up because I'm with you. I don't think he should be fired. I think that, you know, he should get a little bit of criticism for the way that he's mismanaged the bullpen so far, but he shouldn't be fired. By no means should he be fired because he's right now, what, on track to be the second most winning Phillies manager of all time behind Charlie Manuel. Like that's rare company.
You can argue he's done I think I'm one of the few, but you can argue he's done a better job than Charlie ever did.
Yeah. But like the letting Phil Cuzzi have it type of thing, What did you want him to do? Go out there in the eighth inning?
Thank you.
It's far too late in the game to mention that stuff.
Thank you.
Like it is way too late for it to actually make a difference. Now, would it have helped a little bit? Maybe, but it wouldn't have helped that much. Like everyone's up in arms that he didn't go out there and speak up for Harper and Schwarber and those guys. And then they were like, it could have benefited Kirkering in the bottom of the eighth. How do you know that? You don't know that. He could have just gone out there and chewed out the umpire, and the umpire couldn't have changed. He could have said, fuck you, and I'm going to do what I want.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I agree with you on it because my thing is, watch Aaron Boone, right? You go out there. If an ump strike zone is going to be at that at the eight inning, that's what it's going to be. Because from eight, from up to now, whatever it's been called, is what it's called. The only thing you can ask in that spot is, if this is a strike for my guy, it better be a strike for their guy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can ask for, especially in that later moment. Do I think in other instances, do I think Topper should get a little bit heated? Of course, but at the same time, too, I'm like, I don't understand why. I understand why people want up in arms, but like in the eighth inning, the game's already decided when it comes to like, he's not changing.
Yeah, he's not going to deviate from his strike zone.
I just don't think that's him. Like, I just don't
know. Okay, to my next point.
I just don't think that. I think that's something people fail to realize, you know?
He's not Joe Girardi, y'all. He's not.
There's some there's some managers, there's some coaches where, yeah, you know what? Listen, they'll get chirpy, but are they going to go out there and be demonstrative? Like, probably not. That's not. And to me, that's just not him. If that was him, like, I get it. But it's been
the only time I've seen him really do it is when he really wants to fire guys up. Yeah. Like they're in a long losing streak, and he's like, all right, I got to change something. I'll go out and do this and making my presence known.
Absolutely. So.
No, I just want to say, like, to the whole, and like, you're right, Dom. That's not his style. Rob is a laid back, say something, and Pat, like you just said, if needed. He's not an Aaron Boone that loses his shit every game about something. And also, to the people that are up in arms, I gotta ask, show me a statistic that says that every time a manager goes out there, ump gets better, and show me a statistic that says that. Anything past the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Because by that time, like, and Dom, you worked in baseball. By that time, it's what's going to be.
Yeah. Here's the thing. People say, you know, well, he's got to fire them up. Yet they tend to forget, and, you know, this leads me to a bigger point when it comes to Rob Thompson, that his presence alone in starting in June of 2022 is a lot of what rejuvenated this ball club. Because of his calm demeanor, he knew how to push the right buttons. You know, I love the biggest question I have with this fan base when it comes to Rob Thompson is, okay, you want somebody to take you to, I look at it, I'll make a college football, you know, analogy here. It's no different than Mike Norvell at Florida State. 2 years ago, Mike Norvell had this team, you know, in position to be in the playoff. Whether they should have been in the playoff or not, it's a different story. That's for another conversation. Florida State goes 1-11 this year. And then they're calling for Mike Norvell's head. But, you know, here's the thing. They want somebody down there in Tallahassee that's going to, you know, get them back to being close to that playoff spot. Yet they forget that the guy whose head they're calling for, Mike Norvell, had them in position, you know. So I look at
same thing with the Knicks. Same thing with the Knicks.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing with the Steelers too. Like Tomlin got you to a Super Bowl, has a winning season every year.
You see,
and everyone's calling for his head. Okay, say you fire him. Who do you get to replace him? It's the same with Rob Thompson.
Who
do you get to replace him? That's going to be better.
Yes.
You're not going to find it.
And you know, on the flip side of that, to bring it back to Philadelphia, right? People are upset with Rob Thompson because he's not emotional enough. Yet these are the same people who a couple months ago, and they probably still would be if they did not win a Super Bowl, were upset with the head football coach because he was too emotional.
You know. It's so funny you mentioned that because
Rivers going after being number one in the East.
They did it on Ricky Pitalico's show the other day.
Yeah.
They were comparing Rob Thompson to Nick Sirianni and their personalities. They were chewing into Rob for not being, you know, not going out there and saying his piece and getting in the face of the umpire. But then they turn around and praise Nick Sirianni for getting in the face of the fans.
Yeah. And then like, people – and those
it doesn't make sense to me.
People, thank you. These are the same
– and when it happened, they were tearing into him.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
they were like, this dude. They were like, this dude is a clown. He's talking trash to his own fan base. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. But now, because he won a Super Bowl, they all love it. I don't understand this city. I really don't.
Yeah, this is what I've been saying. Well, also,
too, go ahead.
No, for those who are maybe new to the pod, or you know, or listen to the radio show, this is what I've been saying for months. So thank you, Pat. Because I just don't understand. Now listen, like I said, the criticism is warranted to this point. I'm not saying
absolutely. He deserves to get some of the blame.
Yeah, no, he absolutely does.
But you know, to put all the blame on him and call for his head on the daily, it's just getting ridiculous. Because at some point, it's like the players are the ones that go out there and play the game. He is not. He is the only. He's the person who calls the shots and picks who to put in at bullpen. But he's not the player going out there hitting the ball, throwing the strikes, doing all that other shit.
But okay, to that point, right there, we're talking about people are getting mad about Rob not going out there. They're going to fire his guys up. You get paid. Your guys are in the top, like, some percentile of getting paid. If you can't fire yourself up for game day to do a sport you've been playing for damn near half your life, that seems like a personal issue to you. And they, like you guys said, all Rob Thompson does is come up in there, put a little motion here and there, you know, walk out there, bring a new guy in and manage. He doesn't go up there with the bat and tone with the dude. He doesn't do that. It's not his job. Exactly. So that I think what we need to do is, I think it's more of a personnel issue here.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The same team we I look at 3 years ago does not have that same fire. You talk about small ball, you had Gene Segura. Yo, let me tell you, small ball is what works. Not every team.
You have guys that are supposed to be small ball, but they're not because they can't hit anything. It's Rojas and March. They're supposed to be the small ball guys, the contact guys.
Yeah.
That's what they were supposed to be. That's what they were brought here to be. And they're not.
Well,
so, like, you have these guys on your team. It's just you can't get them to do their job.
Well, also, too, in another regard, right, you could only, like, and I think the Rob Thompson criticism and the Nick Sirianni criticism is stupid because they still win.
Yeah.
Rob Thompson took over in 22, and where did that team go? To the World Series.
Yeah. And then he got them to the NLCS the following year. And in reality, they needed one game out of two games played here. They needed to win one of those games. The players disappeared and didn't hit for anything. The pitching showed up. The batters didn't.
But guys,
so you can't blame that on Thompson.
But guys, in sports, right? We blame the people who are running it. We don't blame, like, the Knicks, right? And not to get off basket or not to get off topic, but like, there's no reason Tom Thibodeau should have got fired after taking the Knicks to a place they haven't been to in how many years, Dom?
Quarter of a century. 25 years.
Yeah, both our lifetimes. Together. But then you part. That's just the sports culture. Here's what we gotta understand: real fans versus casuals. Casuals call for the jobs because they see the Phillies are 5-5 in their last 10. Fans like us see, well, hold on, because baseball is a sprint, not a marathon, not a sprint, right? It's 100-something games. That's how I came on. I started and I said, yo, it's July. Games are starting to matter, but it didn't hit All-Star break yet. All right?
Yeah.
The fact that we, as a fan base, are pissed off at a guy that has his team tied with first, y'all don't know shit about baseball. That's how I look at it.
And the other thing that I want to go back to with the whole Phil Cuzzy situation is, you know, Harper and Schwarber were jawing at him the entire time during those at-bats. You know he was getting it every time. If he didn't throw any of them out, what makes you think he was going to throw Rob out?
Yeah.
Like, they had to have been giving it to him.
I totally agree.
I mean, also, I'm going to be honest. Like, I was like, that some of the calls, like, oh, my. Like, they were bad. They were bad.
They were horrible. They were bad. He struck out Matt Chapman 3 different times, and he ended up walking him. There were 3 straight strikes given to him, and he didn't call a single one of them. But it's – you know, also Caleb Cotham, our pitching coach, he was giving it to Phil Cuzzy the other night. He didn't point at the dugout and say, you're gone. He didn't do anything. What makes you think at the eighth inning that it was going to change? I don't understand why people are so pissed off about this.
Can I ask you guys a question, both of you? Two things. One, do you guys ever feel like after a game historically bad, I understand these gentlemen are in their, you know, in their older age. 90% of MLB umps are up, what, up north of 50 sometimes.
So Phil Cuzzi's the oldest one, and I think he's 65, 66, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, so, he's the oldest one.
So I feel like after an egregious game that happens on both sides where it's just like, oh, that's off. Like, you literally like altered the game. I understand that's what baseball is built off of. Literally, the man behind the plate sometimes calls the cards. But, yo, there should be, like, a plan in place. And I think it's all sports. When you get a call wrong and it's consistently wrong to the point that, like, Pat, like you said, he striked out Chapman three straight times and wasn't a strike. Or we talk about how bad the pitches were to Harper. I feel like there should be a slight consequence to the ump to be better.
Oh, there is. There is. It just doesn't show up right away.
But what is
it? It happened to Angel Hernandez.
Are you talking about not doing the World Series?
Not doing the postseason and not doing the World Series.
But here's the thing. I'm talking like, yo, because here's the issue. When managers get ejected and when players get ejected, they lose money, right?
Yeah.
For every bad call that you have, I'm not saying every bad call, but let's say like there's a maximum. Like last night was egregious as hell. All right, can we both agree that was egregious as hell?
Yeah.
But a game like that, yo, the ump should lose money for that. Me personally, that's just how I feel.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. It's funny. This conversation would have, if this happened 2 weeks ago, this conversation would have been really relevant. I don't know if you guys saw the College World Series at all. But yeah, the Coastal's coach got ejected.
For bumping an umpire.
Yeah, look, I have friends on both sides. I mean, look, I umpired Little League baseball when I was in high school. Apples to oranges compared to this, but like I have friends from my time in college baseball who were umpires. I've seen both sides. I saw both sides of that coin on social media last week. So it's funny that we're having this conversation now, but yeah, I do agree to, you know, there should be some type of repercussion,
especially when you rage bait the player.
At that point, absolutely. At that point,
I'm being
the so NBA. The NBA,
I know you are.
Problem. The NBA has that.
The NBA, no, but this is a problem.
It is a problem in Major League Baseball. And you know,
Jazz Chisholm was the first one to come to mind. Yeah. A couple years ago, Madison Bumgarner, however you feel about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't rub my hand and stare into my face, and then when I look at you and give you the, what are you doing, you eject me. Absolutely. You rage baited me. That's the issue I have with these. That's why if you want, I mean, it's great content because shout out to John Boyd Media because my days would be boring without him. But I would say, yo, last night would be a night where you should be receiving a message from the league. Whatever you find a player for getting ejected, the manager player getting ejected, you should whatever that money is, you should be the same thing. And it should be, and I'm not talking like, oh, you blew one major call. No, if you have a consistent track record of making and to the point that like, yo, you're altering the game and it's noticeable, that's the problem I have because it's damn near ruining the integrity. So we talk about sports betting. And this is the better of me. This has nothing to do with anything, but I'm just saying, if you're gonna suspend and eject people and you're rage baiting and you're being trash, I don't blame Rob Thomas for not going out there because what am I gonna do? Go out there, say something to him, say the worst about this man, then lose money and nothing gonna happen to him. I don't blame Rob for going out there in that spot. Everybody calm down. You know, sometimes I just think sometimes these leagues leave a little too much power to the people in the stripes and
no, they do. You know, Major League, I totally agree. Major League Baseball,
and they're the worst of it too.
That umpires union is very strong. And listen, you know, to a fault, the format.
What?
The text that we just got.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
But Pat, all I'm gonna say is that last night wasn't a good night for Phillies baseball, and I think that tonight will hopefully be better. But it's just interesting.
You hope.
I mean, I hope so. Listen, the Phillies are 5-5. All right, but let me ask you this then. Would you, if you had the opportunity, right, trade deadlines around the corner, are you make? I know you're making moves, but what moves? Who? That's another question. We talk about manager. Who's out there? Who else is out there for you to even take as a player?
I mean, you know, Byron Buxton's out there, but he's only had two healthy seasons his entire career. Trout's out there as always.
But that's money for Trout, though.
Yeah, but also he's not, like, he's not having a great year, but he's still having a good enough year this year to the point where they might consider getting rid of him and getting younger.
Can we stop with the whole Trout?
Look, man, Trout. I'm just spitballing here. I'm trying to think of something.
Nah, man, I knew you had to quit a little timeout, you know, so you had to collect yourself because, you know, that ejection still has you twisted. But I asked Pat, I said, with the trade deadline coming, what we say for coaching, what else is out there? What else is out there for players? What players could you even bring in here to somewhat?
I like the idea. I don't know if the Braves would do it, but I like the idea of Austin Riley.
I saw that yesterday too.
A couple of prospects. I just don't know if Alex.
They wouldn't trade into a division, yeah, especially something like this.
I just don't know if they're going to do that, but that's the one deal on the table that I really like. I mean,
especially when it's for the next, like, however long his contract is, it's like four more years. They're not going to want to do that.
But that also too, because he'd probably inclined to stay. They got a nice core down there, so.
You know, they do. Like, you know, I think Atlanta is you know, they're down for this year. Look, it's Brian Snicker's last year. You know, they've caught a bunch of bad breaks with injuries and such. And in terms of how – it's a great city. It's a great – it's a fantastic city.
Great state, too.
It's a fantastic place.
Great place. A lot of crime. Great place.
Jeez.
But yeah, no, like – but what was I saying? Yeah, with the Braves, they're kind of just stockpiling for, I think, next year at this point. You know, it's Brian Snicker's last year. They're going to have, you know, a managerial change.
How long has he been there for?
He's been in the organization a long time. He was basically in a Rob Thompson situation. You know, he was with Bobby Cox. He was with Freddie. And then when they got rid of Freddie, they kind of gave him the reins, and, you know, they put together a great 2021 run that they've been unable to replicate. That's nearly impossible to replicate.
Hey, Rosario, baby.
Yeah, and look, every single thing went right. You know, that's another example of a team. And listen, I think that's a great organization. I think they do things the right way. But that's another example of an organization that's gotten stuck in second product syndrome, combined with injuries, and now they've realized that. So I like the idea of the Austin Riley deal. I just don't think the other side is going to want to do it. I think at some point it's inevitable that Mike Trout ends up here. No, look, I'm not the biggest Trout fan, to be honest with you. You know, I think if anywhere, it's going to be here. You know, so I just don't think that time is now.
My issue with this is he could have came here if he wanted to.
Yeah, I totally.
So can we get this fantasy out of people's bodies and systems? Do whatever you need to do. He had to. Okay, right. You talk about players being from specific areas and places. If they wanted to come in, they would have. I don't think he wants to, because I think he knows, with him being an Eagles fan, he knows and who he is and his
own. I agree with that.
He already knows the moment he comes in and doesn't perform, he doesn't want to be talked about in that way. And yeah. I think out in LA where he is, they'll never talk about him like that, because that's all they – that's all.
They'll never talk about the Angels. Unless,
as long as LA Dodgers in the same city, they'll never talk about the Angels.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, until that franchise gets good. Like, I will say, you know
– Joe Adele is nice. I do like Joe Adele. I do like Joe Adele.
They – No, like, yeah, no, to that point, I think you hit the hammer on the nail. He can kind of just fly under the radar out there. They're second to the Dodgers. You know, they haven't blanking when their last postseason appearance was. Their last LCS appearance was 2009. against the Yankees. But yeah, like he can just kind of fly under the radar there. I do feel though that when he moves, it will be to here. I just don't know when that'll be.
I would say though, and this is like the Phillies fan in me. Let me take this head off 1 second so I have to make the statement. If the Phillies fan in me does not want that, because why do I have to deal with the remains of what you used to be?
I agree.
That's not fair. That's not fair to us. And I gotta take on that, what was that, 12 years, $400 million? I don't wanna take that. It's a big contract for a guy who's
not. You already have two. You already have Trey, and you already have Bryce.
Bryce is coming to the. I don't think he stays for the rest of his time here. I really don't think so.
No, he does.
It wouldn't surprise me. I think he does, but I wouldn't be surprised.
My biggest thing is you don't want to bring in a guy. Granted, what he says, Dom, I'm on the record, I never considered Mike Trout as like the top guy, not discrediting his play, but I always thought the man who in LA I thought was better than him, Mookie Betts, I just thought was, you know, at that time when they were 1-2, I thought it was always Mookie, not him. But it'll be interesting to see just where they go from here. I mean, the trade deadline is coming around the corner. A lot of questions need to be answered. And the fact that we're having talks about what the Phillies should do in the type of first place goes to show that, I don't know. Rob Thompson is bad as everybody's trying to make it up. Everybody needs to relax on that. All right.
Now, I also did see that we'd be in on Felix Bautista for bullpen, which I would love to have him. He would be a great arm to have.
I would take that.
And then I also saw a hypothetical one, and it was really crazy, but it would involve – I think it was Bohm, Crawford, Painter, and maybe Miller to go to the A's for Miller and Rooker. No. You get a right-handed power bat, and then you also get a bullpen arm.
That's a good deal. My only question there is
– I feel like you're giving up way too much, though, on that one.
No, I agree with that. I don't want to give up Crawford. Is anybody going to want to take Andrew Painter? Because he is damaged goods. That's my only thing with Aaron. Like, yeah, he's got promise, but
I mean, someone took Spencer Howard, so why not?
Yes, someone did take Spencer Howard. That's true.
And the one thing I learned in baseball, another man's trash is another team's somewhat treasure. And there's a bunch of roster spots, and there's a lot of things to move. Like, this is not basketball when we're like, when we have these conversations or something like that. Like, no, like, there's a team that would take these guys. The real question is,
I mean, shit. Like the Angels took Moniak off our hands. Moniak couldn't hit for shit. Wasn't
bad for them.
The team wasn't good,
but he actually did it. Like, it's funny. My cousin and I a couple years ago had this conversation of like trades that worked out for both teams. That was one of like the first ones that came up, and it's so underrated because to an extent, Brandon Marsh is kind of – I think the love affair here has kind of waned off a bit. But with the Angels, Moniak actually didn't play bad. He actually ended up being pretty good for them.
He did what they needed him to do. The biggest – last thing on the Angels for me, because I know I kind of flipped that in there. But the worst thing the Angels ever did was they gave Anthony Rendon that money. And he played for them.
Yeah.
And he should have never left Washington, where that's where you were beloved and you were legendary and raw. I mean, you were the Phillies killer when you were in Washington. So I'm going to just say, whether it's Mike Trout, which I personally don't want here, Pat, you float the name Byron Buxton. Granted, that's another injury warrior, but when he's here, he's here. I mean, and
yeah. There's a reason he's an all-star this year, because he's actually playing. Yeah.
Byron Buxton.
And is actually doing pretty good this year. There's a reason he's an all-star.
He's had a really good bounce back. You know, like I remember he was the top prospect coming into the league when I was in high school, and he had to navigate through some rough waters on the field when he first came up. He's another guy I really like. I'll tell you what, if there's one guy in hindsight, I'm not upset, but it's like I'm disgruntled by the fact that they gave up because of the issues that JT's having. And I think it's just kind of natural at this point because it is age and stuff, but Logan O'Hop. I mean, Logan.
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, that one hurt.
Not that he's a miracle worker, and not that you need a miracle worker in the catcher spot. JT is a solid player. You know, I think he's just starting to come down the hill a little bit, but man, it would have been nice to have him in the stable.
All
I know is that something needs to be done.
Something will be done. Dombrowski will do something. He's not going to sit on his hands like he did the last 2 years. He's going to do something big.
I mean, history could repeat itself. The man's old. He could.
That's true.
Yeah.
He could.
But I feel like, you know, they feel like this has to be the year that they do something. So he's going to want to try and make a big splash.
Do it before the Braves figure their stuff out again. That's all I'm going to tell you.
I ain't worried about the Braves. The Braves ain't figuring shit out.
But here's the issue, though. You got them. Listen, you're not the Braves. You may have bounced them out of the playoffs twice, but they will be back. Acuna will have a full year to play again. Yeah. They're going to get a new manager, which means new philosophies and stuff. I mean, baseball is baseball, but there's, you know, new things to it. And then also, too, do it while the Mets are still trying to figure out who their identity is. And Juan Soto is not playing at his best right now. That's why he's not even an all-star. If there's a time to capitalize on these things, and if you want, I'll go around, you know, the leagues. If you look at the Marlins of 42 and 48, right, you're just to go to a completely different division. In the National League Central, the Cubs and the Brewers are at the top. You were there when the Brewers, you know, BTA the Phillies, but
I'm gonna be a good luck charm. They need to give me a job.
They should.
No, like I looked back through my ballpark app and my old some of my old books. They are 5-0 in Philadelphia in games I attend. So they should give me a job.
I would say, as my mom has a more unfortunate record, she is 1-8 in Phillies games.
Ooh.
So yeah, but. And then the Dodgers and the Giants, and then it's the Padres are all, you know, that's who you're going up against to get to the World Series. One of those teams. And right now, it's time to capitalize. I don't know.
Yeah.
On to the offseason, the NBA moves have been named. Rumors around Chet Holmgren. Dom, no matter how much I criticize the man, he got paid today $250 million deal for Chet Holmgren. The Heat acquired Norman Powell from the Los Angeles Clippers, and they re-signed David Mitchell. James Wiseman, after the Pacers lose Miles Turner, they signed James Wiseman. DeAndre Ayton goes to the Lakers. Fellas, I'm not going to read all of this, a lot of moves, but I guess I'll ask you like this. How are we feeling so far about the moves that we've seen around the NBA? I think some teams are having a really nice all season, and some news that came out. Jokic told front office that he's not signing an extension after next year. So I guess this means Jokic on the move potentially pretty soon.
Possibly.
That do wherever he goes, that's gonna be a power shift.
He could just be leveraging as well. He could just be using it.
I wouldn't be surprised if he retires.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
I wouldn't be surprised if he retires.
I think this off season, for what it's worth, is, I mean, outside of the KD deal, I think it's somewhat marginal. You know, nothing to really write home about. You know, I think a lot of people have their criticisms of Chet and what he was for this run. I think it's a good move on Sam Presti's part to keep part of that core together, because here's the thing.
You have to.
I've said it on this show before. The Thunder, the key for the Thunder becoming a dynasty is, to me, is Jay Will and Chet reaching their ceilings. Shea's going to be Shea. You know, he's the MVP. No, you know, no questions, comments, concerns. But for you to reach a dynasty, you need Jay Will and Chet. You need your second and third options to reach their ceilings. So I think it's a good move by Sam Presti. But, you know, other than that, there's nothing really this offseason to me that's like, wow. You know, we all knew that KD was going to be on the move.
I think now is Giannis. I think that's where all
I was going to say, we have to see where, you know, what happens with the whole Giannis situation.
I was saying, for a man that name is getting thrown around a lot in trades, he hasn't said much.
No, he hasn't.
There's been a lot of speculations that the Damian Lillard waiver, which was a dumb decision, if you ask me, by Milwaukee, over because he wanted to train at home with his family in Portland and not be in Milwaukee. What difference does it make? He's not playing. It doesn't matter.
I didn't understand that either.
I don't get it. It just sounded like they wanted the experiment blew up in their face, and they said they're making Doc Rivers the scapegoat. They just made him the scapegoat. The Sixers signed Trendon Wofford. That's one of our good friends' favorite players. So good for him. I'll explain it to you later. And also, too, the Knicks finally got their coach and Dom. I think they hit on this one. I don't understand why you fired Thibodeau, but if Mike Brown can do what he did the first year in Sacramento with the Knicks, with no disrespect, but with a better group than what he had around him, that could make some noise. We're still waiting to see. I know Kat's name gets thrown around when the potential getting Giannis into New York, which if you're Jalen Brunson, I wouldn't want that because there goes my touches, and now I have to share the ball more, and it gets the ball out of my hands. I think another crucial thing is that they're decreasing Rick Brunson's role because, let's be honest, I don't understand why assistant coaches out here starting fights and arguments with opposing players at times. So I think that's a good thing. So the Knicks finally got their coaching search. I know I got to ask Coach on his thoughts about that, but – overall, you're right, Dom. The NBA is kind of just coasting through the offseason. I know VJ Edgecombe had a nice showing out party versus Ace Bailey.
Ace looked pretty good, too.
He did look good. He did look good in the second game, but in that first game, he had a rough one.
Yeah, I mean, that's his first game, though.
I think everybody knew with the whole how you carried yourself. He also got rid of his he got rid of his man. Didn't even make it to the first. I think, Pat, was that you that said that, I believe? But the whole manager for Ace Bailey, well, he got fired. They're no longer together anymore.
Oh, really?
Okay. Didn't he make it to the season? It's going to be
That's good. At least he's away from him now.
Well, I mean, the damage is kind of done. They sent you to Utah, so
that's true. Listen,
though, if he puts it together, Utah really needs needs a star.
I don't know about that because they did sit John Collins because he was too productive for them. So they might do the same to Ace Bailey.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, John
Collins. I wouldn't count that out.
John Collins is to the Clippers now. And something that honestly surprised me, Dom, I know we talked about it just being close, Michael Porter Jr. is a net.
I think that was a really good move for both teams.
That was a great move for both teams. You add more shooting for Denver and you get and Michael Porter can go to a team where the expectation isn't to win. It's just to play ball.
Absolutely. For Denver, I look at it as you're getting big money off the books. You get more shooting in return, but you're getting big money off the books. And for Brooklyn, I think you're going to see the high school version of Michael Porter Jr. I think you're going to see a really
– that's what they need.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that version of MPJ. I think that was a really good deal for both teams.
And that's pretty much – Bancaro signs a rookie, a 5-year maximum rookie contract extension. So good for him. And so did Franz Wagner, Moritz Wagner for the Magic. So, I mean, guys, the NBA offseason is kind of just, we're in the summer league, Bronny James, year two, going to be better. You heard it here first. Before we go to the NHL, I want to say for all my gamers, we have. College football is out now, Dom, with the Alabama championship. And for basketball, the reason I bring it up is the cover athletes for 2K got announced. Angel Reese is on the WNBA edition, so good for her. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on the cover for 2K and the legendary edition, aka please spend $100 if you really want to. Stay mellow, baby. Carmelo Anthony is on the Legendary Edition. I'm probably going to buy it because New York Knicks, Carmelo Anthony is my favorite player in that time period. So, yeah. But, Pat, to the brothers on the ice, a lot of moves been happening, I've seen. What's going on over there?
Yes, sir. So, I don't know if you guys talked about it. You probably haven't because I'm your hockey guy. But your Flyers.
You didn't talk about much of hockey, unfortunately. What? Huh?
Yeah, I know. The Flyers traded for Trevor Zegras. That's a big move. Go get a nice center because we are very short on center.
That's the dude that did the lacrosse moves, correct?
Yes. Now we have two of those guys. We have two of those guys that could do it. him and Michkov, who will probably be playing together. I hope they play together. It would be stupid not to put them together. But, yeah, you finally have a good center behind Couturier because Couturier is getting older. He's still probably going to be your first-line center just because of everything that he does, and he's your captain right now. Zegras will probably be your second-line center, but they might move it around every once in a while. And then you got, like, some minor signings on the back end, which I'm okay with. There's nothing that really jumps out at me. Here, let's see who they actually signed. I don't have it right in front of me right now.
I will say if you don't play Zegras and Michkov on the same line while they're both developing young, I think that's pretty dumb.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will eventually. So we got Noah Juulsen and Dennis Gilbert, who are two guys on the back end of your defense. Juulsen played with under Tocchet in Vancouver, so there's history there, which is nice. But it's not like anything that'll like jump out at you as like a difference making move. We're still gonna suck. We're gonna be bad, but we're gonna be a fun bad team to watch. I will say that.
Hey, maybe
just because it'll be another year of developing, you'll get to see what Michkov looks like in year two. You get to see what Zegras looks like as a flyer, you know. And then you finally got a backup goalie who's somewhat serviceable with Dan Vladar from Calgary. He's okay. He's nothing special. You're looking for basically stop gaps until next year. You're not looking for anything that'll make a true difference. You're just looking for guys to fill a spot for right now.
I will say – and we talk about next year, and if we're our bad, top projected number one prospect in the 2026 NHL draft.
Yes.
Gavin McKenna, a.k.a. that's a great name. I'm just going to say Gavin McKenna. Goes to Penn State.
Yes, he goes to Penn State. It was between Penn State and Michigan State, and he chose Penn State, which is actually kind of good for us because the guy that we drafted in the first round, Porter Martone, is also playing for Penn State if he doesn't make the Flyers right out of camp, which people are saying he looks good and he could make the team out of camp. But if he doesn't, he'll go to college and he'll get to play with Gavin McKenna, which, you know, you're going to suck again next year. If the lottery balls fall in your favor, you can maybe get the first overall pick. I highly doubt it because we never have luck with that shit.
Hey, Pat, we gotta be positive, right?
I know that, but you know, this would have been the year to get it. Probably, if we had to get it, it would probably have been this year because we had probably the third best odds. I think it was to get it.
Yeah,
but we didn't, and the Islanders jumped up from 11-1, which pissed me off. But you know, not much you can do about that. But yeah, you're gonna suck again next year. You're absolutely gonna suck. You're probably not gonna make the playoffs. But you'll be a fun team to watch, and if you're bad enough and you make the right moves and do the right things, you can maybe get the first overall and get Gavin McKenna, but I doubt it. In all reality, you know where I see McKenna going? I see McKenna going to Pittsburgh because the league loves Pittsburgh, and they're going to bail Pittsburgh out again. They did it with Lemieux. They did it with Crosby, yeah. And now they're going to do it with McKenna.
Well, hey, listen.
I saw a tweet yesterday. It was Lemieux's career lasted 21 years, and then they needed a new face of the franchise. They brought in, they got the first overall pick and picked Crosby. His career with the Penguins is going to last 21 years, most likely, because they're probably going to trade him at the deadline. In all seriousness, they're probably going to trade him. And
would you imagine?
Send them to either Florida or Colorado or one of those teams that can contend for a cup in his last year.
David, I'm tired of losing. Send them up there. I'm tired of losing. Yeah, I said I am. Yeah, me. Like, I'm from Edmonton. I'm tired of losing. I would say if history repeats itself, that's something that might have to be touched on in a different light, probably years down the line. If that's what if history repeats itself, and you're correct about that.
Well, you know, it is very similar to what happened in the NBA recently.
Well, I mean, the man was getting death threats, and they were calling for you know everything under the sun about him, so they were going to give it to him.
Yeah, but and also
it just happens that the Mavericks fell out of the play-in.
You go back to the Chris Paul trade. Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers originally. The league stepped in and said, no, you're not going there. And then they traded him to the Clippers. Oh, guess who has the number one pick the next year? New Orleans. What happens after they select Anthony Davis? They trade him to L.A. What happens the following year? They get the first overall and pick Zion.
Well, that was actually a fun year because the fact that, Diamond, you remember this, the fact that the New York Knicks were like hell-bent that Zion was going to be.
And that was so funny.
Sounded great. No, but think about it. Zion in the Garden every night, that sounded great. That sounded now, Zion bad, can't. The worst thing that happened to Zion was going to the Pelicans, not for the organization, just because there's a lot of attractions around him.
No, I'm just saying it's very fishy that, you know, the league stepped in and gave them the first overall pick, or at least it looks that way. And it looks that way for NHL, too. Yeah, I'm not saying it is, but it's just very – it's very fishy.
You got to do away with, like, a group lottery. The final – like, the top four bad teams of each conference
yeah.
the only teams that get to pick from one through four, like, the options of doing that.
Yeah, but then, you know, like, you want it like the NFL does it, right?
Well, no. In a way, but what I mean is, like – like in the NBA, right? The fact that the Dallas Mavericks, right, were able to get that, and they were a team that was just in the play-in, and they jumped over. They had a higher chance than the Sixers, who were trash all year. That's the issue I have with it. It's not so much about the lottery. I think that the lottery shouldn't involve teams that were close to making it to the playoffs. The lottery should involve teams that were like down what like the last. Three teams on each and of each conference is like, and you do a lottery between those six, and then everything else falls off record after that. I think that's how it should be. I think that's how it should be. Okay. And then if there's a tiebreaker in record, because you probably will be, then you should, you know, go off to get into nitty gritty points and all this, who scored less, you know, just at a third. That's why I hate the lottery, if you wonder why, because in groups and teams that have no business being there. Boston was fine, and they somehow got the third pick and picked Tatum. That's what people forget. It's like that's what happened in the lottery. If your team is trash for 1 year, like Golden State was, Dom, when everybody was hurt, what?
You said Boston was fine, and they got the third pick that year.
Meaning, like the year that I think Tatum came in, because that was still like the
Isaiah. which was the year that we had the third pick. They had the first pick. We traded with them to jump up and get Fultz.
Well, I'm
because Danny Ainge baited us.
Well, I mean, I'm not. Everybody in the organization are a bunch of you know what's, but I'm just gonna say it's just. But like that's fine. I guess what I'm trying to say is like just don't involve teams that are damn near make the playoffs and they only miss it because they're like two big guys that are hurt. That's why. It ruins everything. Like the Dallas Mavericks should not have gotten Cooper Flagg the easiest way they did. They only did it because they felt bad for Nico Harris. And he looked really bad at the end of that trade. He really did. Considering that Anthony Davis went down the moment you got him. So I don't know. But to hopefully for the Flyers is better this upcoming year. And I also want to say, cause I know we have to wrap up too, to the WNBA. Like we wasn't on it, but did we touch on it last time? I believe.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did. All right, never mind. The WNBA, the All Star teams are set. Paige Beckers is an All Star, and she's a starter in her first year. So top that. All the Caitlin Clark supporters, you talking about?
Caitlin Clark was named team captain.
I don't care. We listen, but this is the first year. No, but see, here's the issue I have. And this is what I think that kills the WA. See, we always talk about the WA and why it can't grow in this and the third. Sometimes the issues within the WNBA aren't the like what everybody always likes to point out. Sometimes it's the little in like the inner things of the game itself. Yeah. Like there's a video of Kelsey Plum not wanting to sign someone's car. I mean, Don, me and you are car collectors, and the fact that the dude had like six thing versions of her car, and she's like, it kind of turns you off. I wasn't trying to turn you on. I just asked you to sign it. I'm a fan of you. That's the issue one. Then another.
Well, did he have a blue pen or did he have a black pen? Because if it's a blue pen, they tell him not to sign.
Yeah.
Dude, she didn't even care for what pen it was. She just saw the amount of cards. And you know what I'm talking about. She just saw the amount of cards and didn't want to do it.
Probably knows that they're going to be resold. They're not for him. They're going to be resold.
He's right.
Right.
If it was one card, yeah, she would sign it. But if it's multiple, if it's more than two or three, then she's like, oh, these are being sold. I ain't signing these.
But here's the thing, though. That's not in a world where everything gets filmed, right? And you're in the process of trying to grow your league, grow your sport. You want more eyes and attention. You want one person brought a lot of attention. Well, no, one draft class brought a lot of attention to all two people's petty competitive nature, right? So now you're trying to spread that to everybody else in the league. In a day where everything's in football, whether you're getting resold or not, that should not be a response to a fan. It really shouldn't be. Am I wrong? Lay down.
I don't disagree.
That's the thing. But all in all, WWE is looking cool. All-Star Games around the corner. We will cover that more as they're starting to shift more to the back end. I know Asia will, Caitlin Clark is out, returned actually over the weekend after missing a couple games. Anything else around the sports world, fellas, that seen caught your eye? No?
A few weeks out till camp, baby.
Few weeks out till football training camp starts for the NFL. Can't wait. That means football season around the corner. That means I go back to learning jail. Unfortunately, I'm not looking forward to it. But sports are going to be back soon. NFL starting to lead the charge. College football. Can't wait for that. A lot of great things going on over there. So I don't know. We're going to wrap it up here. Our friend of ours has some important business to take care of. So we're going to get up on here a little bit early. With that being said, make sure you guys rate this pot a 5-star. Tell a friend to tell a friend of the Kickback Pod that's going strong. Oh, I'm dumb. Hold on. Wait a minute. Real quick. Not only are we about to get out of here, but there's also another podcast up and coming, right?
We can do that next show.
Oh, you want to do that right now?
Yeah, no, we can do that next show.
All right. We'll do it next time. Never mind. Yeah. Excuse me. Make me look dumb in front of everybody.
No, you're good. Well, no, we'll do it next show. We'll do it next show because I'll have stuff planned out.
Okay. All right. With that being said, rate us a 5-star. James will be back next time. Hopefully, when next time you see us, we may try to get the Tully tailgate on.
Got to talk.
Don't try to talk to him. Pet, do your job.
What do you mean, do my job? I don't have a job right now.
You talk to him more than I get a chance to.
No, I don't.
Pet's still looking for a job. Anybody, please. In me the too. Radio world. Not for much longer. But with that being said, just the Kickback Pod. I'm Gavin. That's Dom. That's Pat. Until next time, peace.